find that, you know, the children would be, would end up loving their hijab and loving their spirituality and find, feel proud over, you know, practicing these Islamic values.
So basically, hijab definition is not only covering the head. Hijab definition is like try to protect yourself all haram, all those bad friends, bad influence, bad stuff, you know, like bad media. All these are counting as a hijab. It's not just the hijab is covering your head.
All these are important in Islam, but they are not part of the hijab concept. Hijab concept actually involves few things, let me say to you. The first is that hijab concept, of course, a woman has to cover her entire body except the face, which is wajib to wash in the wudu up till the chin. Even this part, which is below the chin, is wajib to cover. So up till the chin, which is wajib to wash, this much part, which is wajib to wash, can be exposed, and you know, a woman can see it, the man, and the man can see it, the face of a woman, and two hands below the wrists. This much a woman can look at the man's hands, this much below the wrists, and a man can look at woman's hands, you know, this much below the wrists. So all the rest, including the feet, is wajib to cover for a woman in front of non-mahrams. And also, so this is basically, this is the wajib amount to cover, the whole body, except the face, wajib to wash, and the two hands below the wrists. You have to cover the feet also, that's wajib. And second of all, the clothes that the woman wears should be loose enough not to show her body figure and measurements. Third of all, she should not wear the eye-catching colors, you know, hey, look at me kind of colors. Wherever a girl is walking by on the street, everybody is turning his head and looking at her, because the color is so eye-catching that without you saying it, that's exactly what you're saying without saying it. A parrot green color, for instance, so it's an eye-catching color, just to give you an example. So that's part of the concept of hijab. Why we are wearing hijab? To protect our chastity and keep the non-mahram away from us, because we are not married to every non-mahram out there on the street. And my body doesn't belong to the whole crowd. I'm not married to the crowd. So if I'm attracting the crowd, I'm doing something contrary to the entire theme of hijab. So basically, the body has, the dress has to be loose enough. Third of all, it shouldn't be eye-catching colors. It's contrary to the whole concept of hijab. It shows that the person basically missed out on the whole theme. Why we are doing hijab if you are wearing the eye-catching color? Or wearing those pencil heels making tick-tock, tick-tock sounds, you know, everybody is turning towards you and watching you. And when you are attracting everybody out there, then basically why are you doing the hijab? इस तकल्लुफ की फिर जरूरत ही क्या है अगर ना महरम को अपनी तरफ अट्रैक्ट करना ही है तो फिर इस तकल्लुफ की क्या जरूरत है तो ये के इन दोस काइंड्स ऑफ हील्स मेकिंग नॉइस एंड लाइक वेयरिंग परफ्यूम्स अगेन व्हिच इज नॉट इट्स कॉन्ट्रेरी टू द कंसेप्ट ऑफ हिजाब बिकॉज़ ना महरम विल बी अट्रैक्टेड टुवर्ड्स यू इस्लाम डज नॉट वांट एनी ना महरम टू गेट अट्रैक्टेड टुवर्ड्स यू पीरियड सो
How far is TV is concerned, how far TV is allowed, you know, the kids sometimes have TVs allowed to watch, or these programs are okay to watch, and how much is the time that this is, we have to have like some enjoyment or something like that, you know, like some relaxing time, or they think the TV is relaxing and all, or some games and all, so computer or chatting and talking on the phone. I mean, if you can explain that, how much the limit they should go for that, you know, wasting their time.
TV or radio or internet or a movie theater, these places themselves are not haram in Islam. These have halal use and they have a haram use also. After the Islamic revolution in Iran, the first speech that Imam Khomeini delivered in the Bahisht-e-Zahra graveyard, the outskirts of Tehran, soon after his arrival at Mehrabad airport, he went straight to the graveyard of Shohada and delivered his first speech. And in his first speech, he mentioned this point: we are not against the TV or cinema or film or radio. We are against the misuse of these things. So basically, the haram contents is what makes it haram. As long as a person or a child is watching something which is halal and it's not haram, it's okay. And then we have to watch everything up to i'tidal, you know, the mediocre path of Islam, not to waste too much of our time unnecessarily on one thing. Like, I keep on watching the news for 10 hours. Of course, it's not right. I have to do a whole bunch of other things in my life. So this is not right. Or I keep on doing the video games for 7 hours. Of course, I mean, it's okay to play a video game for a child as an entertainment. Of course, those are the games which are suitable. Right now, not every game is suitable. There are whole different kinds of games available which are not even suitable for the kids. But those are the games which are suitable. It's okay, but within the limits. You know, what is i'tidal and the mediocre path of Islam? Not as much as it harms our rest of the duties in life. We have to create a balance in our activities. You can watch for this much time, there has to be a schedule. This much time I have to read Quran daily after my Fajr prayers. This much time I have to read an Islamic book. 15 minutes daily I would pick up an Islamic book on Islamic morals, for instance, I would read it. This much time I would spend on internet, checking my emails and stuff. This much time I'd do my homework. Now, this much time I'll spend on the TV watching then any informative movie. This much time I'll spend on a video game, for instance. You know, there has to be a schedule within the limits of i'tidal, and that's okay. But anything which is beyond the limits of i'tidal and it's too much, it has to be stopped and checked.
Kids over here, they don't have much choices about the friends. I mean, they have only few choices about the friends, and then the Muslim friends are either far or not very supportive. And I think for that we need some unity on that Muslim friends that bring forward and support each other and just get together. I don't know. That's why I think they go always, whatever the friends are available, they go with them and spend time. And it's very hard to stop them.
Yeah, I understand that. It's very hard, but this has to be stopped. Because I would never support, our kids hanging around with those people with whom we don't share our values. This is not going to benefit our children. This is certainly going to have a negative impact. Less or more is a different thing. You know, we can argue about how much less or how much more the impact may be, but there will be a negative impact. You know, that's the way it is. When we hang around with people, we always learn things from them, learn their habits, learn the words they speak, learn the language they speak. You know, it has impacts. I have seen children who hang around with one boy from the neighborhood for maybe they play with him for 2 hours, 3 hours, and the children come back and they learn so many bad words in those 2 hours. So, of course, it's not something that we can support to have friends which do not share our values. Friendship is based on taqwa in Islam. So I understand that it's very hard. I understand that it's very hard to find Muslim friends that, especially in this environment, it's a very tough job. I agree with that. But I would never support the idea of having friends with whom we don't share our values. because they are not our friends. They are wasting our time and they are negatively influencing our children. This should be stopped.
But once the kids go to the class, you know, they have to just spend time with them.
Yeah, that's okay. That's their school, you know, they have to spend time. But anything more than what they have to do, they should be careful about that.
Because once they grow up, you know, they're going to be just spending time with you know, with them, you know.
अच्छा तो माँ बाप जो है बच्चों के फ्रेंड बनते हैं अब उसमें कहा जाता है कि बच्चा उफ करे तो उसको गुनाह मिलता है बच्चा जो बदतमीजी भी करेगा बाप के साथ माँ के साथ सारा दिन उसमें उनकी जानकारी है तो इसमें बच्चे का कितना और बाप का और ये माँ का कितना उसमें वो अब इसमें बिहेव तो होता है बिहेव तो शुरू किए कि बिहेव करें लेकिन बार बार तंग आ जाते हैं घर के अंदर बच्चे तो उसका क्या हिसाब है बच्चों का
माफी मांग ले माँ बाप से अगर कुछ बदतमीजी कर दी माँ बाप से जाहिर है हम मासूम तो नहीं है जब गलती हो जाती है तो जब गलती अगर हो रही है पर माँ बाप को तो जाहिर है हम छोड़ भी नहीं सकते तो अगर कुछ कह दिया माँ बाप से तो बच्चों को चाहिए कि माफी भी मांग ले तो गलती अगर हम माँ बाप की नस्बत से करें तो फिर माफी भी मांग ले उनसे
But all these struggles that we are facing as parents, as a mother of five, I always see it at the end that if you have a true love for your parents, I think all these problems, wherever we live, what country we stay in, it shouldn't be a problem. Because I always, like, I have almost three teenagers, and they were born here. And I find that every day is a struggle. There's always a challenge. You explain one thing, another one comes up the next day. So my experience with them, it's all about bonding and love and affection. Because there's always, like you said, an outside source is going to pull them out. So it's me, I mean, as a mother, it's always a never-ending battle. Till they get the connection with you as a mother, a true love. Like you said, obedience, it's a hard thing to do for a teenager to obey 100%. They always have to speak their mind. So I always end up saying, okay, where is your heart really is right now? Is it with me or is it out there? That's the only comment I always say. And they just think about it. And again, they're not perfect, they're teenagers.
Yeah, I agree with your point. I agree with that. It's a very challenging battle. It's a big challenge for the parents in this society. I mean, here in LA, at least you have a whole bunch of, mashallah, Mormon people around you and friends, you know. I travel to countries and cities where there's nobody. There's just like one family or two families in the whole town. People are living in isolated areas. They are facing big challenges. So basically, we have to be prepared when we are taking the challenge and we opt to live in places where our values are under threat, then we should be watchful and careful because it takes moments. It's a matter of moments to be spoiled negatively at any time by people, you know, and so unless and until we are always careful about that, we may end up in problems. Lots of youths are not marrying in the Muslim community right now, lots of youth. So Sayyid girl running away with the Hindu boy, you know, Sikh people and Jewish people and Christian people and atheists and so on and so forth. So these things are witnessed every now and then in different states. Any kind of negligence from the parents will have a negative effect and may end up in a negative impact. And the more the negligence and the more continued the negligence be, then you should better be prepared for, you know,
an uphill task, possibly to undo the things, because children are learning on daily basis. Their minds are blank. Every day they learn new things, and that defines their ideas and their thoughts. And from based on those ideas and thoughts, they define their policies.
दो चीजें आपसे पूछी थी कि मैं इस चीज में कंफ्यूज होती हूँ कि बच्चों के डबल स्टैंडर्ड्स जो होते हैं कि बच्चे खानदान में पल रहे होते हैं वहाँ के ऊपर उनके कजिन्स होते हैं जो सही तरीके से प्रैक्टिस नहीं कर रहे होते इस्लाम और हम अपने बच्चों को सही प्रैक्टिस करने को कह रहे होते हैं तो जब उनके साथ एसोसिएट कर रहे होते हैं बच्चे हमारे तो वो कहते हैं कि वो भी तो हमारे कजिन्स हैं हम उनको जो है वो फॉलो करें आप कह रहे हैं ये करें तो वो गलत हैं तो उस 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 मौके पे क्या करना चाहिए हमें कि हम कहें कि नहीं वो गलत है और तुम सही हो या जैसे दोस्त होते हैं दोस्त अगर उनके मुसलमान हैं लेकिन उनके स्टैंडर्ड्स वो नहीं हैं जो हम उनको स्टैंडर्ड्स बता रहे हैं लेकिन वो मुस्लिम फ्रेंड्स के साथ हैंग आउट कर रहे हैं हैं तो उनके मुस्लिम फ्रेंड्स लेकिन वो उनके स्टैंडर्ड्स वो नहीं हैं जो हम उनको सिखा रहे हैं जो सही इस्लामिक स्टैंडर्ड्स होते हैं तो उस वक्त समझ में नहीं आता है कि बच्चे को हम क्या कहें कि नहीं तुम नॉन मुस्लिम के साथ एसोसिएट करो या मुस्लिम के साथ एसोसिएट करो क्या क्या चीज बेहतर होगी उनके लिए
Yeah, there are Muslims also who are not practicing, and there are relatives also who are not practicing. So, friendship is taqwa based in Islam. Like I said, people who don't share our values, whether they are non-Muslims or they are Muslims, in this regard, there is no difference. If they don't share our values, we need to avoid them. Because we are trying to protect the values of our children. And if the Muslim is doing like this, there is no difference in this regard. We have to avoid these situations. Unless if we our children are strong enough to do Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar and to advise them to change their behaviors but still be with them, that's good if they can do that. But if they are not able to change their behaviors and they still keep on, talking and sitting with them, it's not going to serve our purpose. It doesn't matter if they are relatives. Of course, we don't break away from the relatives. Breaking away is also haram in Islam. We can pay a visit once in a while or at least give them a call once in a while and ask about their well-being and everything. We don't break away from the relatives, but it's not necessary to spend time and, you know, befriend a person unless if we are able to do Amar bil Maruf and to advise him and join him about that wrong and to make him change his behavior. So if we can do that, then it's acceptable. Otherwise, there's no difference between a Muslim or a relative or a non-Muslim in this regard.
I have a question about that. If you can explain this, because the teenager, when they get the project in school, they get a project like, okay, this book has to be finished in 2 months, and you have to finish this, and okay, they try to work hard day and night to do it. But I struggle with the kids that for the Quran, I say this only one book you have to study and you have been so many months past. Why just can't you just do this as a project and read it and finish it and do something or research on that and go on that? But it just doesn't work. It's just, the kid says, oh, I read half an hour, that's more than enough, 15 minutes, mommy, you're pushing too much, or you're too much into religion, or you are just crazy in the religion. So just talking that how much they have to study about it. You know, I think that the way our imam has done is day and night, they were, you know, just reciting Quran all the time. And even our imam has that, you know, on the nook in Izzah, they were, he was reciting Quran. So I don't know why is this message doesn't click these kids. I think it's only one book, but it's why so much pressure? They just cannot read at all. Why we have to all the time cry and just tell them, you know? It's part of their religion and part of their thing, and the TV they can watch all the 10 hours, but the Quran is a problem, you know?
Yeah, it's a child is, you know, a child if a child is not listening, one of the important points for us to think about is to rethink is the matter of the risk and the food that generally speaking that the child is consuming and we are providing. If there is a problem with the risk, this also has an undeniable impact. The child is not going to listen to Haq and the truth and the teachings of Haq as long as he has or she has a luqmatul haram, a haram food in the stomach. So one of the reasons, generally speaking, for some people and for some families, generally speaking, is this, that their food is not halal. This is one of the reasons. They need to recheck about their food thing. What kind of job we have, is it halal in Islam to work with for that job, or what sort of money are we earning, or any kind of haram that may be involved in my money. Didn't pay khums properly, or didn't pay back the loans of the people that I borrowed, or if I usurped the money of inheritance from my father and did not give it to the rest of the brothers and sisters according to the shares mentioned in the Quran, or any other kind of haram that I may have in my money. So I have to rethink about my money. Because if a person is practicing Islam, first of all, and himself is a role model, second of all, you know, we read Quran and the child reads Quran daily. Third of all, we block the disinformation sources and the bad friends and bad peers and all that, and you know, internet and all those wrong things, the wrong information coming to the child. And fourth of all, we provide positive information to the child through the books, through the scholars, through the positive majalis, through positive gatherings, positive seminars. We replace the bad information with the positive information. That's fourth of all. And fifth of all is the risk. If we take care of these five factors for children, there is no way a child would not listen to me unless and until if a child is Shafi'ul Qalb, like the son of Hazrat Nuh. And not every child is Shafi'ul Qalb and stone-hearted. There are very few who are like that. There is no reason if a child is not going to listen if we take care of these five factors. There's something missing. First, like I said, we should ourselves practice Islam and be a role model. Second of all, block the disinformation sources. Third of all, we'll read Quran and ask the children to read Quran so their soul gets the nur in their qalb daily. Fourth of all, we should replace the bad information with the good information. Every day we should read some books. You know, the father and the mother should sit with the children for 10 minutes daily, for 15 minutes daily, open up a book of Islam about Islamic morals, Islamic akhlaq, adab, ahkam, aqaid, anything, and teach them on daily basis. One hadith of Rasulullah, daily. So there has to be positive information replacing the negative informations. And fifth is the risk thing. So I think if we take care of these factors, it will certainly change the equation.
I think the second thing you said, that friends, that's really, really hard, because I noticed that I worked really hard for that positive messages, and then one message is just boom, like all like a bomb, you know, everything throughout. So that one thing if they learn from haram, like suppose music or any from any friends, okay, that ruin everything now here.
Yeah, it's easily gone.
So I work everything, and just one thing is just bomb everything, you know, so.
Maybe in the matter of minutes and hours.
And then also the problem is they don't think it's haram. They think it's okay. This is okay, this is okay. The problem is here is everything is PG-13. PG-13 is like so wild, it's just PG-13 or PG-10 or whatever. They're worse than even for Red Dog, so.
Yeah, I mean, and just remember these five things that I mentioned, and it is certainly going to work. Certainly. Except for Shafi'ul Qalb children, and not every child is Shafi'ul Qalb. And if there is a problem, then our children, generally speaking, are not listening to that, then we have to rethink about these five things. And there are lots of families where Quran is not recited, unfortunately. Yeah, a lot of families where I go to places, people don't have Quran in their house. Some people don't have Quran in their house. Quran is not recited daily. This is very important. If we don't read the Quran, if the parents don't read Quran on a daily basis, how can we teach the children to read Quran daily? Quran provides nur to the qalb. We are talking about building the nur in the soul of the daughter and the son. Quran provides the nuraniyat. So that's how we are constructing the nuraniyat in the qalb. And if we don't read the Quran on a daily basis, we are living debts in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that اقرأوا القرآن ولا تتخذوا بيوتكم قبورا كما اتخذت اليهود والنصارى. Recite the Quran and don't take your houses as graves, like Yahud and Nasara did. So a house where the Quran is not recited is the grave of that living dead person, because the spirituality is dead, the soul is dead, because it doesn't receive any food for the soul. So, like I said, these five factors are the key. If there is a problem, we have to rethink about these five.
So how much Quran you should think? How many
50
chapter,
ayats.
One chapter, two chapters?
50 ayats daily is mentioned in the hadith. Every mu'min should read minimum 50 ayats of Quran daily. This is the bare minimum. The more the better, but 50 is must for every moment on daily basis.
50 ayat or
50? 50 ayat. That's in the hadith.
It's more than one chapter, right? 50 ayat.
Depends 50 which chapter it is, because some of the ayats are longer and some are shorter. You can read the shorter ayats also if you want, you know, but 50 ayats we should read.
Also, we need proper access, easy alim. You know, like if kids have any question.
यहाँ सबसे बड़ा मसला ये यहाँ कोई आलिम ही नहीं
है. आलिम
बड़ा मसला ये है.
यूज़ से बात कर सकें.
कोई भी नहीं है यहाँ.
Nobody is coming forward and say something to anybody.
इतने यहाँ पे बड़ी कम्युनिटी है, पापुलेशन है और कोई आलिम नहीं है यहाँ.
A lot of families are lose their kids because of this.
एक generation तो पूरी गायब है हमारे यहाँ
because
एक बच्चे हैं.
Lack of education.
पानी दे ला.
नहीं
शुक्रिया.
चाय. ये सब लोग पी रहे
Everybody has zipped their lips, you know, they are not coming forward to say anything. If they are seeing wrong thing, they are not coming forward. There are so many families, they are having problems, they need help. I mean, they are just looking, even their president of the mosque, president of this, they are doing everything for the mosque, but what if somebody needs help, you have to come forward. begging, asking. I see so many friends, they're begging and asking to go to the president, or they see, okay, yeah, this guy is going to go, so many times, yeah.